Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
Les, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day, it was myself and Lawrence Holmes were alternating producing your show, and I really, really, really wanted the job.
No problem if you clean his garage first. Or wash his windows, maybe.
Wash windows?
You asked me one day, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, got nothing going on. And your response was, great, you can come help me move.
And you didn't see that coming, did you, old sport?
Two-day move, two-parter with all the media guides like you would expect that Les would have and everything else. I mean, we had dinner.
Dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish.
I brought in another friend because there was too much stuff.
Upstairs, gentlemen, third floor, back bedroom. Sash installation. And then if you can give the windows a wash, thank you.
I gave full effort that weekend, Parker.
You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out on the Danny Parkin Show. Last hour with Mark Carmen, who's been in the last couple of days. We appreciate you being there. To the texter who's saying that my political side is coming out for my adopted dog from a shelter take.
Wow.
That's a weird stance.
You're a scumbag, man. You're horrible.
Don't be so soft. Lighten up, Francis.
Shane, stop texting the show.
My God, that is a weird, weird thing to get angry over. Obviously, the breeder dogs need homes too, but breeder dogs find homes easily. They are bred, and people have a demand for them. Sometimes shelter dogs don't find homes easily, and they could end up on kill lists, and they could be in damaging situations with other dogs that they're not supposed to be with at shelters. So there is more of a demand for shelter dogs than breeder dogs. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Republicans and Democrats both get dogs from a shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. People are very charged up, man. Election's a week from Tuesday. People are on edge. That's all it is. Or I should say the votes get counted a week from Tuesday. You could vote right now and please do. There, that's, I guess, is that a political thing? I don't think it is. But just vote. So anyway, Carm, I have a bunch of things that I want to talk to you about. Most of them are sports. One of them is still personal. I have just numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. You have no idea what the topics are, nor do you know which numbers are which. And this is just going to be like kind of a grab bag thing. And so you pick a number. I'll throw out the topic. We'll discuss it, and then we'll move on to the next thing. Okay?
Hey, got it. Which one's Jewish pronunciations?
Shane, it's 54 minutes until I don't have to talk to you until Monday. Unbelievable. Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
Let's go number 3.
Let's go number three. Number three. Okay. Big Ten football is coming back tonight. Illinois and Wisconsin, Camp Randall. No band, no fans, no family members in attendance. I am not pumped for the return of Big Ten football. Sell me, and Shep, you could be included in this too. College football is your number one favorite sport. Carm, can you sell me on why I should be excited about the return of the Big Ten?
No, actually, I can't, Danny. I'm gonna. If I find it to be, I was so proud of the Big Ten that they actually were putting the student athlete in front of the money and didn't, and that was it. But they caved, and I get it that a ton of students want to play. Every student that I've talked to is super excited about playing. You know, I do a lot of work with Northwestern. Isaiah Bowser is fired up to take on Maryland tomorrow night. But, you know, cases are rising by the day in scaring numbers, and it's just kind of unbelievable to me that, of course, that's what was going to happen. We're not doing anything to not have that happen, so I don't want to be the buzzkill on football coming back here, and I'm really happy. I'll be very excited to watch the game tomorrow night, tonight, whatever. I said that earlier, but it's just bizarre to me how it's all gone down.
Shep, what's your level of excitement for the Big Ten return?
Maybe not a ton tonight. Wisconsin's an interesting team, fringe top 10 team. I think when it's all said and done, could give Ohio State the run for their money, at least in conference play. But when the SEC came back, that's when it felt like college football was back to me. The Big Ten, it feels like it fills the 11 o'clock slate is a little bit more full now with some teams I'm a little bit more familiar with. But in terms of college football feeling back because the Big Ten's here, not so much.
Oh, wow.
My problem with the Big Ten is the over, like, they always have a bunch of teams between 3 and 23. And they almost never feel like they can actually win a national title. So it feels like I'm watching a bunch of good teams that can flirt with 7, 8, 9 wins. One team will be Ohio State, and they'll make the playoff with 11 wins, but no one can get on LSU or Georgia or Alabama or Clemson's level. So it feels like I'm watching secondary college football, and I'm watching slow college football. That's my problem with the Big Ten.
Largely, I think Ohio State's that exception. I think Urban Meyer changed a lot of that when he got to Columbus and changed. I think the Big Ten East really took a step in terms of national respect since he got there. That said, he won the one national championship in sense. I don't think the Big Ten scored a point in the college football playoff. Now, they've been shut out of the college football playoff for a good number of those years. But even when they've gotten there, it has not ended well. It has not ended pretty for them. So I do think that Ohio – I guess that was before last year, before Ohio State and Clemson in that thriller last year. But, I mean, that said, it does feel like it's Ohio State. There is a huge gap, just like it is with Clemson and the rest of the ACC. And then it's a bunch of teams that are pretty damn good, but not title good.
See, I like a rooting interest with my college football and my college basketball. So from that standpoint, like, this actually feels like college football is back to me. Like, oh, great. I'm way more interested now that the Big Ten's going.
I personally think that college sports, without the pageantry and the pomp and the circumstance, it's the thing that has impacted the most. Like, with baseball, with no fans in the stands, I got over it instantly. Like, first game, didn't bother me. NBA bubble, the level of play was so high, no fans in the stands, didn't notice it. The NFL, I love the NFL for the TV product, right? The gambling, the fantasy, all the games at once, the red zone channel, it's once a week. No fans, doesn't bother me in the least. College game day, without people behind them, it looks ridiculous. It looks lifeless. You go to these games and there's fans, like just like little pockets of fans at some of these with masks, and there's no real atmosphere. There's no big bands. There's the pageantry of it. And I think the same thing will happen with college basketball. You're telling me I'm going to get excited to watch a Duke basketball game at Cameron Indoor with no fans? I feel like it's impacted so much that it's been very hard for me to get into this college season, including, by the way, watching the Clemson games, like that I watch usually every Saturday with my wife. Like, we've missed. Now, some of that's been because it's ACC Network, but I really haven't been that engaged in the college season so far.
And I don't want to be high morality guy either here, but it just feels wrong. It just, to me, at least it does. And to the experience part, like I go to a lot of Northwestern basketball games, not having a band in there for that level of energy,
it's going to be dead.
Straight death.
Yeah, it's gonna be a horrible atmosphere. And I mean,
Carm's right. Carm's so right about that, because you hear it all the time about Welsh Ryan Arena. You hear Cameron Indoor, and then you hear Welsh Ryan. It's pretty much right on par with one another.
When they have the perennial contendership, that place is gonna be rocking.
When is that?
It's coming.
Next time it hosts a super sectional Friday,
Listen, when they went to the tournament, they played Purdue on that Sunday afternoon, and Jim Nance was in the building, there was no better atmosphere in college basketball that day. It was right here in this city, 8,000 strong, Welsh Ryan Arena. It was amazing.
It was in Evanston. It wasn't in this city.
Yeah. Excellent point out of you. Thank you, Shep. That is very true. Okay. We go rapid fire sports topics we didn't get to during the week with Mark Carmen. I did it 1 through 5. He chose number 3. What's next, Carm?
Let's go number 1.
Number 1. Do you buy Trevor Bauer and the White Sox as being an actual possibility this offseason, Mr. White Sox Weekly?
I 1,000% buy it. I really, really hope it happens. It's very easy for them to pay for it too here, at least in year 1. I mean, you're not bringing back Edwin Encarnacion. That's $12 million. You're probably not bringing back Alex Colome. That's $10 million. I don't have to do the math on all this for everybody, but Nomar Mazara and James McCann, if you bring back neither of them, I hope they bring back McCann, but that's another $10 million, $11 million really right there. You just paid for Trevor Bauer. He wants to be a change-the-game guy. He's the best pitcher out there. You are an elite starting pitcher away from winning the World Series. Him and Tim Anderson have a bond. There is no reason monetarily, logically, all of it for the White Sox not to be at the top of the market for Trevor Bauer and have him be the big final piece to take you to the World Series.
So I hope that they talk to him, and I hope that they compete for him. Bauer's so interesting, though, because you absolutely need to weigh the clubhouse dynamics and the personality dynamics of how he will mix in with your group, because he will admit that he is not an easy guy to get along with. Like, he's the guy who will go out and throw 7 shutout innings, his team will lose 2-0, and in the postgame he'll be like, I don't know why you're asking me questions, the problem wasn't the pitching. Like, that, it takes a certain manager, a certain clubhouse, and all that to go with it. Now, listen, he's going to be the Cy Young winner. He is, or the runner-up. He's absolutely the best pitcher available. I'd take him over Stroman. But you have to weigh the clubhouse part for him, and let's see if he's actually going to hold true to his word and only sign 1-year deals. If it's a 1-year deal, yeah, there's no such thing as a bad contract. Go out and get him. But if he wants 7 years, $250 million, those contracts are very risky for pitchers. And while Trevor Bauer would be a huge upgrade and it would line up with their title window, and obviously I would applaud it, one of those scenarios is way riskier than the other, given the health of pitchers.
It's a crazy investment, no question. But let's just say you win 1 World Series in this.
Oh, worth it, of course.
Right, right. So logically, do you win the World Series with him? It'd be a gamble that I would be willing to make. I'm not really worried that much about the clubhouse, Parco. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Like, John Lester, when something goes awry on the mound, does he not have a moment where he's or John Lackey, who, if we're thinking about Cubs World Series pitchers who were upset at players who were not doing the right thing, I think sometimes that helps. Hey, you are, like, be on your game when I'm out here. I have standards. I don't hate that.
Listen, Trevor Bauer has said things that I find loathsome and I really disagree with. He's said things that I find really interesting and I agree with. So I'm not doing any sort of, like, sweeping character judgment on the guy one way or the other. And if you're really talented, you can be a pain in the ass, right? Like, that's how the workforce is. The higher producing of a talent you are, the more of a difficulty that you're able to be, more of an eccentric personality you're able to be. He's awesome, and he's interesting from a media perspective, so I would definitely enjoy that part of it. I hope they're involved because I do think more so than like James McCann because of his relationship with Giolito or right field, like they need another starting pitcher who you can count on because you've got Giolito, you've got Keuchel, and then you obviously hope that Kopech's going to be great, but he's going to be like 18 months or 19 months between major league appearances by next year if everything goes according to plan. You do have some uncertainty. You got young guys. You got guys that you like, obviously, right? You have hope and Cease, and there's talk of Lopez, and there's going to be Kopech and all that stuff. But you are going to have, if you can get another reliable, dependable starting pitcher that you can count on every fifth day, that's the number one need for the White Sox, I think, no question. So then, get him or Stroman, frankly.
Sure. And Tony La Russa is going to bring them all together.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. That's.
I don't believe that, actually, but.
I know you don't.
He could.
I know. Well, by the way, if they get Trevor Bauer and they all stay healthy and they set the, you know, hit 200 home runs for a 162 game season, again, you or I could manage them and they'll win a whole bunch of games next year. We're doing rapid fire sports takes with Mark Carmen for his last hour with us here on The Score. You've done one, you've done three, you've got two, you've got four, you've got five.
Let's go with number five.
Let's go with number five. All right. Zach LaVine.
Oh, my guy.
Is this guy, he's got, what, 2 years left on his deal? Is this guy a franchise cornerstone?
Oh, wow. You went all the way.
Is Zach LaVine on the next contending Bulls team?
So that is a great question. And Zach LaVine, by the way, is the best player on the team. I find that to be a very interesting conversation where people have just not – been giving him enough credit, at least in my mind. And he's a free agent in the 2022 season. I don't think that he will be on the team, Parco, when they get there. But I do think that he is woefully underappreciated in this town. It is not close on that basketball team as to who's their best player. You have no idea what they're going to get from Lauri Markkanen. Maybe Billy Donovan will be able to unlock him and put him in position to be successful. Wendell Carter Jr., nice player, but we're never going to get a superstar there, right? Kobe White, I think he can be a point guard, and I think he can be a good one, but he's never going to be a top elite point guard in the league. I think that's almost pretty obvious. Like, can he get to 14 to 17? As that would be logical to me. But, like, people are just not
14 to 17 points per game or 14 to 17th as the 14th or best point guard?
Yes. That part, which would be
a so you think he could be a league average point guard?
Yeah, a good league average point guard. Maybe.
Well, I mean, point guard's really good in the NBA right now. It's a very tough, you know, list to crack at the top. My thing on LaVine is that he is crazy talented offensively and that's scoring the basketball, but that's obviously the easiest thing to do, and the other parts of his game haven't come around enough. And I'm a fan. Like, I think he is very entertaining, very hardworking. His contract is very good. Like, there were people who didn't want
contract.
The Bulls to people didn't want the Bulls to match that contract. I said it at the time. It's like, no, you got that is ridiculous. You match that deal immediately, and within 1 year, he'll be underpaid, and he is because the money just skyrockets in the NBA. So it's a great contract. I just think that. Whatever, like the next team that competes is more than 2 years away. And so the next contract for Zach LaVine could get really uncomfortable in terms of the price. And then you're paying for his late 20s and his early 30s. And that's where I'd worry about it. So if a team was willing to give you 110 cents on the dollar for Zach LaVine, he's not so good that he's untouchable. If I'm Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley.
And we don't know what they think. And my guess is that there's going to be a major, major restructuring of the, it's not going to be like, okay, we'll put this piece in here and then the Bulls are good. I think it's going to be way more than that. And so Zach very well could go in a deal. But like my point with him is like, Zach LaVine, he's okay. No. This is a guy who's scoring 25 a night. Every time I open up social media, he's working out, climbing a building, shooting, like give the guy his props. And to your point about just scoring, he's a decent passer, handles the ball, played the one. He can do it in a pinch if you need him to. Okay, the defensive end of the court's not great. I'm not going to try to defend him there. But I do think this is a very, very good basketball player who's just been on a really bad team.
Doesn't it feel like that he would be held in higher esteem if at any of his stops he was able to prove himself as an off-the-ball player? Because if I'm a contending team, that's the rub with him, is if I knew he could be perfectly fine just coming off screens, slashing offensively, and maybe not scoring 25, but scoring 17 pretty efficiently and being a secondary ball handler, his value in the league would be higher. Like, I know Seth Partnow from The Athletic, who was in the Milwaukee front office for a while pretty recently, just put out his tiers of the top 125 players in the game. Zach LaVine was in the fourth tier. So that's where the, you know, him and talking around the league, people think about Zach LaVine is he's a probably between 75th and 100th best player in the league, give or take.
Right, and I just think that's unfair. He's just been on really bad basketball teams. If you get him around with some better talent, I would think that, oh, wow, this guy actually really can be a very solid two, would be a phenomenal three. Now, to his ego point, can't be. That's interesting, but I would like to think that he'd be smart enough to realize where he fits.
Philly could be interesting for him if a team wanted to try and make a deal.
Yep, I think that's a good one, and I think I still think the Bulls are trading up in this draft. I think that they're going to go big in this draft and try to identify a guy in the top three and pair new coach, new GM, new president with new piece, like new cornerstone piece. And I think anybody, there's no one untouchable. Though the most untouchable player, in my opinion, is Coby White.
So I was
not because he's the best. I just think that he is, in terms of an asset for the Bulls, I think Coby White's their best asset right now.
Sorry, I was listening to a couple pods where they're going back and forth on possible trade things, some of which were sourced and some not. And it was brought up that if the Bulls wanted to move up to, let's say, Golden State spot, if they were to, like, what it would take right now would be either Markkanen or Carter to move up from 4 to 2. To me, that's a no-go. That's a non-starter.
It seems like a very, very steep price. If you could get Ball and you think he's a legitimate top 5 point guard for the future, I'd probably do it. Because I just think you need to have a great point guard in the NBA if you don't have LeBron. So if you think Ball is a all-NBA point guard, I would be willing to do that. But if you don't, then I certainly don't make that move for Weissman. Because that's not a guy who you're building a championship team around. We have a couple more for the rapid fires, and to Sean Gibson talking tough about the Bears. It's next on the
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Score. We have some breaking news, Mark Carmen.
Do tell.
Both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport are reporting that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now the heavy favorite to land the services of Antonio Brown. A deal could be imminent. Tom Brady pushed to make it happen. Brown, of course, not eligible to play until after week 8 when his suspension is up. Seattle was believed to be in the mix. Baltimore was believed to be in the mix. But Tom Brady gets to reunite with Antonio Brown, and it's apparently going to be a one-year deal with a bunch of incentives, which means it's just going to be an 8-game contract plus the playoffs for Tampa. And I got to say, Bruce Arians said it was not going to happen, but if Tom Brady wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And if you remember Patriots-Dolphins week 1 last year? Was that it? Was that the last time he played? When he only played the one game, or was it 2 years ago?
Was it week 1?
What? It was his first game with New England. Whenever he played with New England in that first game, Brady threw to him 4 times on the first drive. And it looked like, oh my God, this is going to be terrifying. Because he is exactly the type of skill player that Brady thrives on. Like the guy who gets open immediately, crazy footwork, short area quickness, like the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman types, except he's Antonio Brown. So, listen, he's 32. He hasn't played in a long-ass time. But when he played in 2018, he was dominant. And if Brady wants him and it's a non-guaranteed deal, I look at this as only upside for the Bucs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was hoping that he would sign with someone who was in competition with the Bears because I think he'll ruin wherever he goes. But this one feels a little dicier on that. It may work out because you got to get right with Tom, you would think. Like, if there's one spot where he would come correct. I mean,
it was last year, by the way, 2019 with New England. Thank you, Shep.
Yeah,
it's – well, that's the thing, right? If he acts out once, you cut him. If he doesn't, you brought in a Hall of Fame level talent, and you already have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. That's the best receiver group in the NFL, period.
Yeah.
Like if Antonio Brown is himself, that's the best. They're better than Atlanta. They're better than Dallas. Like, and I don't think that there's even a third nomination for who would be in that conversation. Like, they are. That is the best wide receiver group in the NFL if Antonio Brown is himself.
Well, that is definitely the rich getting richer. I mean, I love Ronald Jones. They're good. The Bucs are good.
They're really good. So, man, that's a scary for the rest of the NFC, man. Because so Tampa's losses are week 1 to the Saints and short rest against the Bears. And so that's how they fall to 4-2. But man, that is not going to be easy if that whole thing works there in Tampa.
And then they come back and kill Green Bay off of a Packers bye.
Yeah, and looked dominant. And looked absolutely dominant. So that is a big, big development for the NFC playoff picture with Antonio Brown. But to Sean Gibson, Carm says that he is hearing all of our disrespect and skepticism. Here is Bears safety to Sean Gibson on the disrespect the Bears are receiving.
I know we hear a lot of things about us being the worst 5-1 team and, you know, this and that, but I think that it's just an opportunity for us to go out there and show that, you know, we belong where we are, and it's a reason that we won 5 games. It's not just by luck.
Where do you hear that you're the worst 5-1 team?
Oh, man, it's all over. You've been seeing it all over the internet. You know, you see, I watch I watch Get Up, you know, Good Morning Football and stuff like that, man. I think that we are the most talked about 5-1 team, man. I don't think that people truly give us our respect, man. You look at these power rankings and, you know, you're taught not to pay attention to those things. And obviously we don't care, but, you know, we hear. And so, at the end of the day, man, 5 wins is 5 wins, man. I'd rather be sitting at being the best 5-1 team than being the best 1-5 team.
Okay, and then this is Tashawn Gibson following up on that, and I love that, by the way. He's like, I watch Get Up. I watch Good Morning Football. We see the power rankings, but we don't care about them. We see them, but we don't care about them. We see them, though, but I don't care. So this is how Gibson and his teammates take in that disrespect.
I think that is just a person-by-person base. I think that everybody be lying if they say they didn't see it or they haven't heard about it or they didn't hear the chatter, but I don't think that it's nothing that – the coach had Coach Nagy, Coach Chuck. Nobody has put that on the big board and said, "Hey, the talk out there is you guys are the worst 4-1 team or 5-1 team." I don't think it's been few, but it's more so that, man, we're players, man. So if anybody say that they haven't, if anybody got social media, you'll see it. If you watch TV, you know, I think that the Bears haven't been getting the type of love we deserve. But you know, it's nothing that's fueled us, because at the end of the day, we're sitting at 5-1. And we're comfortable with where we're at, man. And we understand the type of things that we can do in this building. So I don't think that people are out to prove people wrong or anything of that nature. It's just more so we hear the chatter and we see it, but it's nothing that, you know, if that's how it's perceived, man, no, it's not nothing that we're saying. Like, hey, man, we want to kill the noise. And, you know, I don't think that that's a lot of guys' mindset. But we see it, though, obviously, man. We have social media. So at least I do. So let me speak for myself.
It, but we're not trying to prove the haters wrong. But I mean, it's not really that big of a motivating thing, but we see it, and it's a lot of disrespect. But I gotta be honest with you, no way, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I mean, we're very disrespected about it. But we're not going to take that disrespect and we're going to channel it, because we're 5-1. I'd rather listen. I love it, man. He is being as honest as he can be there. It's like he's like honest. Ooh, I'm not supposed to say this, so I'll backtrack it then. Honest. Like, of course they see it, of course they care. Every team looks to have that extra thing, that chip on the shoulder, nobody believes in us, disrespect card. I've seen the best defense in the NFL, what was it? It was the one of those Jets Rex Ryan teams that took Mark Sanchez to an AFC championship game. They had Bart Scott out there being like, no one gives this defense any respect. It's like, dude, you're the number one ranked defense in the NFL. What are you talking about? Like, the athletes create slights all the time. In the case of the Bears, this is a real one. Like, they are considered one of the worst 5-1 teams. They are the 14th ranked team by DVOA. People are calling them frauds. People are questioning the offense. So, like, it's okay to say you hear it and it pisses you off and you want to prove people wrong. It's okay.
I love it. Let's go. Rally and cry. Everyone thinks we suck. Let's get all mad about it. I mean, look, I'll bring Jordan back in. He used whatever he could possibly use, right?
It had been an hour.
Right.
So yeah,
we've got to get him back in there. LeBron does the same thing.
There we go.
He's looking for his. It's all over. So LeBron, Mike, Tayshaun Gibson. I mean, right there, they're all doing the same thing. But for real, like, that's right. No one thinks you're good. Whatever little extra that you need to or don't need, just want to use, period, to get you bumping in the morning or through practice going into a game, I think that's fantastic. Go for it.
I agree. And I never like when people say, we don't hear the noise. Because maybe 20 years ago, you could buy it. You don't subscribe to a newspaper. You don't listen to talk radio when you're driving in. There wasn't 24-hour a day like sports talk on TV. Like, you conceivably in the 90s, early 2000s, could say, I don't know what people are saying about our team. It was possible, even if it was unlikely. These guys live on social media. You've covered locker rooms after games. I've covered locker rooms after games. Before they take their shoulder pads off, they are scrolling their Twitter mentions and their Instagram comments after these games. It's impossible for them not to, because they are a product of that generation just like I am. They are addicted to their phones. I'm addicted to my phone. We read everything that everyone says about us on all corners of the internet. It's impossible not to, at least 99 out of 100. So they, at least Tashawn Gibson's being honest and like, yeah, I know what people are saying about us, because they all know what people are saying about them.
Do it before the game, during, do it after the game, probably do it at halftime.
Exactly. Exactly. If a guy has a sick catch in the first half, he's taking that phone into the bathroom and reading his Twitter mentions during halftime. Of course. That's just what it is for the modern athlete in 2020. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they hear it all. They read it all. Kevin Durant has burner accounts. You know, like, and now that's an extreme example where he's like, yeah, I'll go anonymous on social media to argue with people who hate on me. Like, that's an extra level for a dude who's worth like $500 million. But yeah, they all care and they all listen to it. So they're playing the nobody believes in us card. It only took 6 weeks.
I'll throw in one other old school LeBron reference. He comes running in the locker room after one game, Parko. Hurry up, let's do this real fast. I want to watch myself on SportsCenter. Like, that's what it used to
be.
There
you go.
That happened. I'm like, and he was so fun about it too, right? Oh, you want to watch yourself on SportsCenter. Oh, I want to get to my phone and see what's being said on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and everything else.
Wouldn't you want to?
Yeah.
Like if you were LeBron. Yeah. And by the way, to take you even behind the curtain a little bit, like for a bad team, like the Bulls. So the Bulls have their PR staff. They have their social media staff. They have in-house photographers. These guys, they get texted pictures of themselves doing cool things, and then they're encouraged to share those photos on their social media channels and link like at Chicago Bulls. So if Zach LaVine has a sick dunk, he gets on his phone, he has a text from a Bulls employee with pictures that the Bulls took of Zach LaVine encouraging him to put it on social media. So of course they know what people are saying about it because it's part of the business. It's part of the brand. Got a couple more rapid-fire things with Mark Carmen as we put a bow on this thing. Very much have enjoyed having my dude in these last 3 days. Zach Zaidman coming up at 6 o'clock on The Score. Zach Zaidman coming up at 6 o'clock. My guy Mark Carmen in on the Danny Parkin Show. We started transition with Lawrence Holmes on Wednesday by alluding to the fact that whenever Carmen and I cross paths professionally, he tends to get fired, and I tend to be the one to let him know about his firing before he himself finds out about the fact that he was fired. We have not really told those stories in great detail, Carm. We have a few minutes here.
Great.
Would you like to end how we began by discussing how I always know you're losing your job before you know that you're losing your job?
Sure, I'd love to tell my two firing stories as I walk
out. By the way, I was speaking to your boss earlier from Fansided. I got some news for you. God. A little bit. Yeah, don't worry about it.
That's good. So firing number one, I think, I think it's probably my second of the two favorite firings. Although this was actually like kind of a truly more of an actual firing, although it wasn't that I had done anything wrong. It was more of a shifting of the show.
You hadn't done enough right, though.
Right. Well, that was it. Thank you, Parko. That was certainly the theory there, which was, of course, ridiculous. But so I was the producer / update anchor / night host / like literally did everything at the station, but was on the Nick Wright show. And then Nick left. So for about a month, they're just doing all this shuffling around. Who's going to be the afternoon show? Who's going to do middays? Parko, you were getting in a fight with the Royals. Like, you're even at that point, like, your job was like slightly on the line for a second.
Yep.
And I'm like, hey, I can do this, I can do that. And the PD's not talking to me. And in ways that he had never not talked to me, and we were never besties. But so I'm doing 10 to 2 on a Friday with me and Carrington Harrison, who I believe is going to be sitting in on the show coming up next week.
Yeah, next Thursday and Friday. My old partner in Kansas City is going to do a couple of shows. Yeah, that's right.
So Parko texts me at noon with 2 hours left of the show. It says, yeah, hey, Carm, I don't know if you know, but it's your last show. And when you walk out the door at 2, human resources is going to be waiting for you. So now I've got 2 hours of radio to do. Try to be professional, not say anything negative. And then at the end of the show, Carrington will be here Monday. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do, but like, I should never have been told that you were getting fired, and I didn't want you to get fired, and I felt like you needed to know. And so I told you. I would have felt bad if I knew, whatever. So I told you. And then the next one happened in Chicago, which is, I think, the better of the scenarios.
Right. So Parko's in Kansas City. He's trying to get to Chicago. We had many conversations when I was at the game.
I flew in and met with Jimmy DeCastro at the game.
We did
on your recommendation.
We did a show together. They were giving me the night show. I was saying we should hire Danny. Let me do the show with Danny. That didn't end up working out. But so as you know, as the tenure of the station went along, Parko be checking in, and then like it was I don't remember whatever night it was, but I was leaving a remote. Danny calls me up, or you call me up. And I'm like, yeah, I don't recommend this at all. I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you, it's not going the right direction.
You were like, don't come. If they offer you a job, come and don't move to Chicago to do your dream job for the third sports talk station in town because this thing is not going to last. I don't know. You don't really know much about the industry. I mean, are you right? Are you wrong?
So the next morning, I'm laying on my couch after doing the night show, and I look at my phone. And I get the text from you, sorry, bro. And I'm like, what are you sorry about? Oh.
Ben Finfer had been.
Yeah, Q Ben Finfer. And I, you know, Feeder had reported it, and I was unaware, and you let me know. Sorry, bro.
Yep, that's true.
I was cutting Bears tape that day, and I'd be lying if I didn't say I had Ben in queue while cutting Bears tape just to be able to hear everything that was going on at that point.
It was incredible.
Some of the best
radio
I've ever heard.
Right. It was incredible. He was phenomenal.
And, he really was.
And just for just a moment in time, everybody who was on that station for the most part were all getting opportunities that they wouldn't have gotten. It was great that it was there. It was great for me. No bad feelings about any of it, but Parko did tell me. Sorry, bro.
Yeah. I was your Robert Feeder in that instance that you had done your last night show.
This guy is walking death.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm coming out of the show. And I'm like, no, just stay where you're at. KC's a great town. You're an afternoon host. It's sweet. Your time will come.
Yeah.
Next morning, no, sorry, bro.
You ended up being right, and I ended up being right. I should not have come to the game, and you were fired. But hey, listen, man. Sincerely, you're a great friend. I truly believe that you are the most underutilized person in Chicago sports media. You're hilarious. You're versatile. You're a good teammate. You're willing to do anything. You have no ego, and you make anything that you are a part of creatively better. And I'm really thankful to GN that they let you do this. And this was a ton of fun, man. So I hope you enjoyed it. And I apologize for how self-indulgent the birthday show was yesterday. You were a good teammate throughout that as well. But you're the best, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, back at you, Danny. Huge thanks for having me in. Huge thanks to Mitch for having me in. And, of course, the great people at WGN, Mary and Dave, for allowing me to come over and hang out. Just told them I was going to hang out with my good friend Parko for a couple days. It would be a lot of fun, and so I really appreciate them letting me do it. And it was phenomenal to be here. Everybody here treated me great. Shep, everyone, Shane, Campo, the whole thing. It was a pleasure, man. I had a blast.
Listen, man, it was a ton of fun. Though I will say, if people did actually follow the drinking game of every time you say Parko, take a sip or take a shot, you killed like 5 to 10% of Chicago. So that's just something to keep in mind for next time.
It's the way it went.
Yeah. If there was a Parko drinking game, we have a lot of inebriated people across the city right now. Mark Grody was our only guest today. Thank you to Moby Ditka. We've got Olin Krutz on Monday's show. Boomer Esiason will either be Monday or Tuesday. We're still working that out. Keep the Tannehill family in your thoughts as his mother-in-law passed away from Alzheimer's this week. Tanny will be back in the middle of next week. Thanks to Rick Camp for sitting in for Tanny. Shane Reardon for helping out throughout all of scoring team.
I have a message for you from Tanny, by the way. He says, happy Pizza Friday.
Oh, can you explain it to Carm real quick?
Carm, on Fridays we have pizza. It's like an end of the work week thing. Friday being the last day of the work week, we named it Pizza Friday because our food of choice for the last day, it's like an end of the week thing. It's like a Friday thing. It's Pizza Friday.
That's awesome.
Today was from La Villa up on Pulaski in Old Irving Park. Again, okay. Pizza Friday, end of the week, Friday thing. We get pizza as the food.
If you have any follow-up questions, you have Shane's number now. You can text him so that you can keep up with it. We'll do it again next Friday, I believe. Nick Shepkowski,
Thursday next week, actually.
Is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. For Mark Carmen, I'm Danny Parkin. Zach Zabin coming up next. This is the Danny Parkin Show on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.